chapter Al-Naml, where Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, now, when Hudhud arrives, obviously at first he was really upset. Why was he upset? That Hudhud left his post without permission. That's something not acceptable. This is an army, there's rules, there's a system. Anyway, in the expression of his wrath, we discussed how Quran expresses how angry he was. And the ultimatum he gave Hudhud. لَوْعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. I'm definitely going to punish him severely. Or I will slaughter him. Unless he brings a feasible excuse. When Hudhud arrives, the reason he gives is, I was traveling and I saw this nation worship the sun other than Allah. Oh Allah's Nabi, how can we bear that? Allah who created them and they worship the sun. This hurt and upset the Hudhud. So Sulaiman alayhi salam now, he sends Hudhud on an errand to invite these non-Muslims to Islam. So Allah's Nabi, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, writes a letter. And the letter is now presented to the Hupu. And the Hupu now travels to Yemen, Sana'a. Sana'a was the capital of Bilqis, Queen Bilqis, the Queen of Sheba. And Sulaiman alayhi salam's lands was Palestine. This was the golden era of the Bani Israel. He was the man who built and beautified Masjid al-Aqsa. Obviously, he wasn't the first to build it, but he reconstructed it in such a phenomenal way. And he gave du'as for anyone who enters Masjid al-Aqsa. Allah's Nabi mentioned his du'as in the hadith. May Allah Ta'ala preserve and protect Masjid al-Aqsa. He actually built Masjid al-Aqsa with the assistance of the jinn. So actually, Masjid al-Aqsa was built 40 years after Kaaba Sharif. But how? Because the hadith mentions that. But how the hadith is understood is, probably that is speaking about the first construction, the Malaika. So the Malaika built Kaaba, and then 40 years later built Masjid al-Aqsa. Otherwise it seems that it's not speaking about the construction of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Because Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam reconstructed the Kaaba. When he built the Kaaba, he built it on a foundation that was there already. وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ. But that foundation, the Kaaba was raised in the time of Nuh alayhi salam during the flood, the deluge. Now here what happens is Sulaiman alayhi salam built this beautifully. And interestingly, as he was building Baytul Muqaddas, Masjid Al-Aqsa, he was supervising the jinn. And Allah made it such that even when he passed away, they didn't know. And Allah made it that that became the sign that they don't know the unseen. Because Allah gave jinn strength. Like we'll see in this incident also. Allah gave them the strength they had. So sometimes when a person got strength and it gets to the head, that's why our ulama is saying, few things get to the head if not coupled with Allah's consciousness. Number one is knowledge. If we don't realize the consciousness of Allah, then knowledge will create pride. The other is status and position. If we don't realize that position and that status, that authority we have comes from Allah, it will take us to pride, which is destruction. The other is strength. Strength, the person is really strong, that brings pride. The other is wealth. Wealth breeds pride and arrogance. And Allah save us. A person cannot his entry into Jannah is halted, is delayed until that pride is removed. He will have to go into hell and that has to be cleansed. Allah says, pride is deadly. So these are different symptoms, different gifts of Allah. If we don't realize they are Allah's gifts, it will bring pride into us. In this now, the jinn wanted people to feel that they know the unseen. And some people's aqidah started going upside down and they started believing this, that yes, the jinn know the unseen. And Allah used Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam's departure from this world as a sign for the people. He passed away. But because he was busy in salah and he passed away in salah, while standing in salah, he was reclining on his stick. And the jinn are carrying on with their work. They carried on for a long period of time until they finished all their work. Because they thought Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam is watching them. But he was in salah and he passed away. That's what happened. This is mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem in the chapter called Saba. But anyway, this chapter discusses. Now Sulaiman alayhi salam sends this letter via the Hupu. And the Hupu delivers the letter. And this queen, now the letter falls on her lap. And she addresses her ministers. What do I do now? Ulqiya ilayya, a letter which is noble and a respectable letter from such a reputable source has come to me. What do? Do we fight back? Because this letter is saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, don't become arrogant and surrender to Allah, become Muslim. It was an invitation to Islam. So now, she wants to know who actually is this person, Sulaiman al-Islam. Is he like the normal kings? Or is he someone very special? So she thought, how she'll win him over and understand the situation is through bribery. So she sent lots of gifts, gold and valuables. And historical reports mention the sorts of different gifts she sent for him. And when all these gifts were coming, Sulaiman alayhi salam is sitting in his mashura that morning. And already he gets the information that she is coming. Obviously he got the hoopoe going up and down, and also he got wahi. The hoopoe, mashallah, making a lot of gush. When coming, from Palestine to Yemen, up and down, mashallah, quite a few times. Alhamdulillah. In this, as he gets this information, he's making mashura, what should he do? So he realizes, they want to bribe him with wealth. So he wants to show off that wealth is nothing to me. More important to me is Allah's deen. Not show off in the way we show off, no. To show them that this means nothing. This is something that will come to an end and it will perish. That's why ulama deduce here, sometimes when you go for Allah's deen, take the best you have. To show people that what is this? This is nothing. And also a sad reality is, people will listen when they see, you know, mashallah, wealth. Sadly, if a prominent wealthy person speaks, oh, they think this person got money, let me listen. That's the sad sickness in us. Allah forgive us. But a man who is Allah wala, a friend of Allah is speaking, the bichara, he doesn't know what he's saying. Let's walk out. This is the sad disease in us today, that we respect wealth. But Ajib, look at Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wisdom. When Allah's Nabi was sending a Sahabi into Makkah to dialogue with the Meccans, to convince them why we want to come and perform Umrah. This was in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. From all his Sahaba, Allah's Nabi sent Hazrat Uthman. But because number one, he came from a prominent family, and number two, he was really wealthy. And that's what they respect. They respect you if you came, the Meccan people, if you came from a prominent noble family. This is what they looked at. And the other is they looked at wealth. So that's another lesson we learn. If Allah gave us nobility in any way, and wealth and position, it's not for free. It is to be invested and used for Allah's deen. That so-and-so respects me, for example, you got a friend who respects you, you use that to invite him to Islam. Don't just, I keep the friendship. Brother, you keep the friendship, on the day of judgment, he's going to catch you. He's going to say, Allah, that friend I schooled with, I did business with, I lived next to, he never told me ever about Allah. So Sulaiman alayhi salam, he got his personnel and probably the jinn, and they built his entire region, his capital, with golden bars. They're coming with a lot of gold, but he's putting his entire paving for kilometers, miles outside his city with bars, golden. So as they arrive, there were a few not there. These people who are coming with the gifts, they're thinking, hey, just now they're going to think we stole this from their property. How are we going to present this? So they were overawed by the position Allah gave Hazrat Sulaiman. They were awed by the dunya. That's what they were awed by. In this, as they're coming, Hazrat Sulaiman is making mashura with his men. Who will bring for me her throne? Because her most powerful asset, she was known for her throne. وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ Quran quotes Hudhud, who conveys the Kar Guzari, the report back to Hazrat Sulaiman. Oh, Sulaiman alayhi salam, really, her throne is something. It's really something humongous. It's mighty. وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ So Sulaiman alayhi salam is making mashura. Who will bring the throne to him? So one jinn, Ifritun min al-jinn, said, I'll bring it for you. Your mashura starts after Ishraq. By the time you finish your mashura, Zawal time, couple of hours before you finish, it'll be here. Anyway, Sulaiman alayhi salam wasn't too convinced with his response. There was one waliyullah there. قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب a man of knowledge. He said, oh Sulaiman, this is in the Quran. Oh Sulaiman alayhi salam, I'll bring it for you. He says, how? What time you can bring it? He said, I'll bring it for you before your eyes blink. And he made dua and instantaneously the entire throne of Bilqis was brought and situated exactly where Sulaiman alayhi salam was. When she arrives now, she is overawed by his throne and she's wondering, his throne is like my throne, but it's better because he made some changes. He said, Nakirullah Arsha. Let's see, let's test her intellect, let's test her mindset. And as she came, and as she was coming, there was like a hall that was covered with, it looked like water, but it was glass. So she raised her cloak. So he told her, no, it's not water, but it is glass. Sarhun. Sarhun is the word. It was a huge hall. Anyway, she comes and then she embraced Islam. She says, Aslamtu. Wa'utiya ilma min qabliha. That even before you showed us all these signs, before that we were convinced that Islam is the truth. And I have come here to notify you, O Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, I have become a Muslim. And alhamdulillah, she embraced Islam. Then there's other historical events that did he marry her? That comes in history. Quran doesn't mention. Quran mentions this much that she came into his palace and she didn't come out. That is an indication that he did wed her. And logically, he would have wedded her because she was a queen somewhere. So probably he ran his kingdom and nubuwa and he wedded her. But that doesn't come clearly in the Quran or hadith that he did wed her. But the point is how he invited her and her people all to Islam. And we learn another lesson. If you have some contact with someone prominent, you invite him to Allah and have great foresight that one day this person can come to the truth. Imagine how many people this person can bring. Then you and I are dead and gone. And Allah Ta'ala will continue our rewards in the hereafter. Allah give us tawfiq. Then we read, as I told you, there's so many different topics in this chapter. But then let's go to the next chapter, which is Qasas. Qasas means the narratives and the stories. And this chapter discusses predominantly Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And interestingly, aspects about his life that doesn't come in other chapters. The very interesting incident where he gave the individual one clout because of that person's oppression. That one man was oppressing, you know, so he gave him one clout and that man unintentionally, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam didn't intentionally do this, that man died, he fell down. The power in the hand of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was phenomenal. Anyway, now he got into trouble because the incident is quite lengthy. When he got into trouble, there was one man who was in the ministry of the Pharaoh who came quickly to tell Musa alayhi salam, now you're in trouble, you have to leave. So Allah's wisdom that was, where he leaves, and he travels an 8 days journey to another town called Madian. And interestingly, Madian is named after one of the sons of, you tell me, one of the sons of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam had four sons. Ismail the first, Ishaq the second. Then Madian and Mudayyan. So this town was named after Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's one son. But something else interesting here is Musa alayhi salam traveled this journey. Allah was making his tarbiyah. Because 30 years of life up till now, he was 30 years of age. He grew up in the palace of the Pharaoh. But Allah was training him how the people think, how the people of the palace work, their highty-tightiness, their arrogance, their ways. And through his presence there, the Israelites were not oppressed anymore. Because he was known to be the son of the Pharaoh, and it was also known that he's an Israelite and not a Coptic. And the Copts used to oppress the Israelites because they were considered like the foreigners. So because of Musa alayhi salam, he couldn't see injustice take place and keep quiet. And this is the quality of a mu'min. Something wrong taking place, someone is stuck, stop your car, see where we can assist, see where we can help. A believer cares for others. This is the quality of a believer. Whether it was that incident where he gave the man one clout, that's what got him into that situation where he couldn't see trouble take place and just walk by and turn the blind eye. So Musa alayhi salam couldn't do that. And no Nabi of Allah did that. If there was any trouble, they used to become a solution to that problem. Like he arrives here in Madin. He notices that everyone is hovering around the water and there's two sisters standing one side and there's nobody to help them. And the people were so selfish, they didn't even give them a chance. And by the time everyone finishes, these sisters have to just feed their flock the leftovers. So Musa alayhi salam goes. He doesn't make conversation. Hello, how are you? Hi, where from? What's your name? Nothing like that. He just sees people in need. this, we have to understand, when it comes to women folk, you have to be cautious. We have to be careful. We have to assist, but without falling into fitna. And the best thing to do at that time, pick up your wife and assist that person. That would be the best thing. Look at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He takes the flock. No chat, nothing like that. Just takes the flock. He goes, reports mention, you know, the Quran says he helped them. But remember, he was exhausted, he was tired. But these are Allah's people. When they see opportunities to help someone oppressed, they forget about their tiredness. This is real investments for the hereafter. We're starting i'tikaf now, isn't it? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was sitting in i'tikaf. He sees a man depressed in the masjid. He says, what's the matter? Is there any trouble? He says, you know, I'm facing such challenge, I don't know what to do. He says, explain to me. He says, this is the challenge and so forth. He says, don't worry, we'll sort it out. He leaves the masjid. So the man reminds him, you are in i'tikaf. He looks towards the blessed grave of Rasulullah. The point here is not to break i'tikaf or leave i'tikaf. And it is that we must sit for i'tikaf because we can't use this as a reason not to sit for i'tikaf. Allah's Nabi ﷺ sat every year for i'tikaf. It is really extraordinary and it is special. Allah give us all tawfiq. Allah give us tawfiq. But here now, throughout the year, we can practice the sunnah. He says, he looked at Allah's Nabi's grave and he said to him, not long ago I heard my beloved say that the one who walks to fulfill the need of the next and fulfills it, that khidmah that he does to assist the next is greater in reward than 10 years i'tikaf. Look how meritorious is assisting the next person. Allah loves this. Allah loves this. Back to this. So Musa alayhi salam assists them. He feeds their flock. He returns it to them. And he immediately goes away. Not to know, hey, you know, I'll get something free or I can, you know, I got to make a contact here. I'm new here. No such thing. No ulterior motive. Anbiya helped without any intention of remuneration. No ulterior motive whatsoever. He goes under a tree and he's exhausted. He was sick actually. There were sores around his mouth because he's sustaining himself with leaves. And he's not used to this. He grew up in the palace. When he rode in Egypt, he traveled in the cavalry of the prince. He dressed like a prince. But Allah brought him here because Allah was training him for nubuwa. Anyway, he's under the tree and he's talking to Allah. Oh Allah, you help me. And the dua Allah quotes in this chapter. Inni, oh Allah, where can I demand from you? All I say is, I am a beggar from you and I am really in need of you. He was just making this dua whilst taking the shelter under the tree. And one of these girls come by him. Quran expresses her arrival. فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءِ. One of the two sisters came walking so bashful, so shy. Quran expresses her bashfulness. See, she was walking on a hall of bashfulness. Umar radiallahu anhu expresses this. As she was walking, she was cloaked and her sleeve was covering her face and she was tripping on her cloak because now she has to address a man. No, Allahu Akbar, pure woman finds it comfortable to speak to strangers. No pure woman. A woman becomes uncomfortable and that is iman. When a woman is comfortable talking to strangers, talking to people, mashallah, chit-chat, all that, something is wrong there, brother. Something is wrong. Train our daughters from young. We have to teach our daughters. Your child, your daughter is bashful and she's shy and she's not comfortable to talk to men. Appreciate that. Let her greet the ladies. Don't tell her to greet the men. Let her. That's a natural quality that is inherent in a woman form. That's why when Quran speaks of adultery in women, Quran impresses on a woman. What happened to your shame? That's why Quran mentions the female adulteress first. Then the male, was zani. When Quran speaks of theft, Quran mentions and impresses upon the emotions of a man. That Allah give you strength and ability and still you want to steal. Was sariqu. But when it comes to adultery, a woman's bashfulness is brought to the fore. Azaniyatu was zani. So she now with bashfulness, with her stammering, my father is calling you, you know, to reward you. So he said, you know, we don't take payment for that. You know, I will not come and take any payment or whatever. She says, okay, he's just calling you. Now, as he walks behind her, he requests her, allow me to walk ahead of you. That's when Luqman Hakim wisely said, you still can get safe. You can still will get saved if you walk behind the lion. But you walk behind the woman is impossible. Ya bunayya imshi wara al-asad wa la tamshi wara al-mar'a. Allah save us. And one of the causes of weaknesses in men, even in their strength, is because of lot of availability of sin. When a person stops protecting his gaze, it will weaken his manhood in a man. Allah save us. This gaze is to be protected, as we discussed. The entire chapter discusses this, Surah An-Nur. Anyway, he walks ahead. And where he was to turn, she casted pebbles. That is the bashfulness of a male and a female. And we want to tear this in our children. We want to tear it apart. The natural inherent qualities Allah gives a human being. This is their nature. This is a girl's nature. Anyway, he comes before the pious man. He says, you know, you did this for my family. They came early, this, that, this, that. He says, no, we just, because it's naturally a good quality. That's why we did it, not to get any payment from you. He says, tell me about yourself. He says, no, I'm really in trouble. I'm running here as a fugitive because the Pharaoh is going to look for me. So the pious man told him, don't worry. This is out of his jurisdiction. He can't reach here. And then he saw honesty in this man. And this is also another sunnah. If you see a good person, you propose on behalf of your daughter for that person. You present a proposal for your daughter. This is the sunnah. He said, my daughter, she is available to you. This is the sunnah. Would Sahabi practice this? Hazrat Umar, his daughter's husband, Hafsa radiallahu anha's husband passed away. Khunais, he passed away. He was a great Sahabi. So Hazrat Umar went to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr, my daughter, where you'll find better? Marry him. Hazrat Abu Bakr didn't respond. He went to Hazrat Uthman. So this is a sunnah. Obviously, they both kept quiet because Allah's Nabi prior to that mentioned her and mentioned her in confidence. That's why the two Sahaba kept it as aman. But back to this, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam got married. And alhamdulillah, his life was set there. He was a shepherd. He had a wife. And for 10 years, he made khidmah. And after 10 years, he returns to Egypt to invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes something ajeeb, which I think I have to tell you tomorrow. The story of Qarun. You all heard the story, isn't it? Qarun. You know, Qarun was a hafiz. But his iman was weak. His iman was weak because money was too much, too valuable to him. And he was singing the tunes of the Pharaoh. That's why to become too close to politicians and we start singing their tunes, we have to be careful. Stay away from such people. If we have to go, we give dawah and that's it. Because iman is priority. Qarun couldn't bear it, especially when zakat was abundant. Because now everyone... Depends on how much you have, that's the amount of zakat. When he had to pay so much of zakat, he couldn't bear it. He tried to disgrace Hazrat Musa alayhi salam in public. And you know the story. If you don't, inshallah, we'll share it with you tomorrow. Then this last chapter we were reading, I want you just to remember this now. This last chapter was, what was the last chapter? Ankabut, we're still reading this chapter. Ankabut means? The spider. Now this homework I give you, you must go home. Open to this chapter. This in sequence of the Quran, in sequence of Quran is 29, isn't it? In sequence of revelation, this is 85. What does that mean? I told you before, just before the Hijrah. Before Rasulullah's migration, Allah already is telling him, oh my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the parables, preparing the ummah about revelation. What you're going to need, not revelation, migration. But all this is the revelation. Before the Hijrah, Allah is telling the ummah what is needed on the journey of Hijrah. What you're going to need in Medina. Ibrahim a.s. gave da'wah. Nuh a.s. gave da'wah. Ibrahim a.s. made hijrah. Lut a.s. made hijrah. And Allah says, the parable of the spider, even before Allah sent the spider to weave its web on the mouth of the cave. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.